Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kelly with On the Air, Empowered Communications, Dr. Pat Allen. So we're here tonight and we're glad to be with you on this crisp fall evening. And we hope you're glad to be with us. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. And Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
I am thrilled to be live on the air.
Awesome. So what are you up to?
I am at a seminar. I'm listening to Dan Siegel talking about quantum physics, and I'm identifying with his research as well as mine. And he has a wonderful tool, as I do with my five tools, but his is called the Wheel of Awareness.
Nice. Well, I want to thank you for being here with us tonight, even though you are at a seminar, taking the time out of your learning and ever-expanding brain to be here with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Awesome. So do you have a class coming up this weekend?
Yes, I do. It's going to be three couples, six people.
Oh, fun. The switchboard's telling us we have
a one.
Switchboard's telling us we have a call. Let's see. Caller, are you on the air live with Dr. Allen and have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Thank
Welcome
you
to
for
the show.
Taking my call. Thank you. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello. What can I do for you?
Yes, I've spoke to you before in the past about my relationship and discovering that my boyfriend is passive aggressive. And you taught me to respectfully put a boundary. And I thank you for that. So I'm in the 8-week period where we're not talking.
Oh, he's left you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and how much of the 8 weeks is used?
So far, this is the third week.
Third week?
Uh-huh. But he
called me last...
It doesn't
get really hot. What?
He called me last week, after the second
week. Well, last week is another contact. Did you talk to him?
Well, he reached out, and I picked up, and he said that...
You're supposed to. Did you pick up the phone and talk?
Yes, I did.
Then he's only gone 1 week. He isn't gone at all. He has 8 weeks of rumination. Feel, think, before I consider him gone. I started that information way back in the 60s with... what's his name? Yeah, so, anyway, Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics. So from that time on, I've been going to all the mental classes, including the one I'm in right now. I'm in 3 days of studying the brain and communication and all good things. And the point is that he has time to dwell on this issue, and that time is barely beginning when it's a week. It gets hot in the last 2 weeks of the 8 weeks.
So if he reached out after 2 weeks of not talking, does the 8 weeks start again?
Right.
Yes, it does. Every time he calls you or texts you or reaches out to you, he is indicating that he's still aware of the hole that is left with you gone. So what he'd like to do is to titillate you into thinking he's still there, because he wants to feel comfortable about that. But I know he is there because he's reaching mm-hmm. out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want okay. you. Are you still in love with him, bonded to him?
Yeah, I am.
Then I want you to respond gracefully to him so that he continues to call you.
Okay. So start over the 8 weeks from when he last called.
The 8 weeks has to start over. The only difference is each time he calls, he's more in love with you. But that could mean he will be mad at you because he feels controlled by his loving you. Passive-aggressive mm-hmm. men have been over-controlled, particularly by their mothers. So they've learned mm-hmm. that if they say, yeah, Mom, I'll do it, I'll fix my room, and then they don't do it, Mom has an emotional reaction, and that's nothing but making negative love to each other. So mm-hmm. when you don't react negatively, he ends up loving you better.
Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to keep answering the calls and the reach outs and treating him like he isn't doing anything bad or wrong?
Yeah, I am. I think I did a pretty good job.
He's got 1 week of being gone, right?
He was gone too. That was when I heard from him after two.
2 weeks, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then 2 weeks is nothing. 8 weeks is something. I have found so many times that people say, he called me and it was 6 weeks or it was 7 weeks or it was 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then at 8 weeks, is that when the rumination is over?
If he hasn't called in 8 weeks, I will acknowledge that he's distracted. There may be somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
He's. I consider him starting to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
he has to do 8 solid weeks.
Okay. And then if he reaches out before the 8 weeks, does it start over again from
yes.
there?
Yes and yes. Now I'm going to say something to you that's very painful. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When men do this, you repercuss to that by falling out of love with him. So mm-hmm. too many times I've seen that he comes back and he wants you back, but you have been burnt out by these cycles of in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But don't leave until you're done. Push the arrow through. Don't pull it out because it'll tear flesh with it. Push the arrow mm-hmm. through and stay till he does something.
When he does something, as in what?
As is, I want you back. I don't want you to leave. Their intuition tells mm-hmm. them when they've gone too far. And he mm-hmm. says, don't leave, don't leave. You may be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want you to find out. When you do that, you don't take the remnants of the wound, you know, the wound that he created, to the next relationship. Remember, having a man in your life is like renting an apartment. That you have to invest in it. And if it doesn't work out, you have to leave it the way it was when you got it, or you lose the deposit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to leave the relationship clean because you stayed till he ended it by not calling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you don't chase him.
No. I don't want to.
Okay.
But then I'm thinking, if he does come back, I guess I could be in that space where I may not even...
You could be done.
Yeah.
You will talk to me before you do any termination, I hope. Because if you're not done and you end it, you will be the one that has to call him back and beg.
Oy.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. I will do that.
Good girl.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate everything. Thanks.
Thanks, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It is very interesting, Dr. On, that somewhere in that 8 weeks, or the, you know, they come back 2 weeks, you got to wait 8 weeks, they come back 3 weeks, you got to wait eight more weeks. Somewhere there is something like a little switch that goes click, not doing this anymore.
That's exactly right. But that means the slate is clean and you're ready to move on to the next. Remember, every romantic relationship you have is bringing you a lesson you need to be a better human being.
I think it's so interesting that you use the analogy of the arrow, because yes, when you push that arrow through, once that tip is gone through, which is the worst part, then you've got the cylinder, and then all that's left down there at the end is the feathers. They're soft. They comply. It goes through. It's a clean wound. You jerk that arrowhead back out, you've got jagged, torn, ragged injury, and that takes time to heal in a totally different way.
And it leaves scars on your nervous system.
That analogy is just perfect to me. I'm sitting here, and the imagery
is...
Is
this the first time you've heard me say it?
That one, yeah. I've not heard you say that arrow before, and the imagery for me just popped. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the imagery, the actual imagery of it, and equating it with the emotional, and I'm going, that is incredible, because, yeah, the damage, wow, totally different concept.
I know. It's one of mine that I've had for a long time, but we just didn't need it.
Beautiful. Really good. Neat. Really neat. So, let me see what we've got going on here with our switchboard. And, oh yeah, everybody, I want to remind you, I get messages, lots of messages. Dr. Allen does, in fact, do phone appointments. And she does them starting at 15 minutes and going up to as long as you need. With respect to that, the way to get a hold of Dr. Allen to get one of those appointments booked is by reaching out to Sue Wagner at info@drpatallen.com. Best way to do it, and that's drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. So, Dr. Allen.
I particularly like to do life scripts. How you became you and what. Who did it and what did they do? You know, if you're in a 12-step program, AA, it's called an inventory.
Right, right.
And Dan Siegel calls it awareness. He's got a new book, Awareness, which is about energy, which is what we're doing here.
And well, it's interesting. Your life script is almost like a recipe that somebody's put together, and... And then you get baked, you like you say about Freud, you get baked, you get put in the oven, you get baked, and everything that's gone into that dish, that mixture, that recipe is really part of who you are,
how you got
baked.
It's a false part. It's not an authentic part.
So how
it's the
do
part
you...
that other people, your government, your religion, your school, your neighbors, your grandma, somebody, mom and dad for sure, somebody said, be perfect, do it this way. Try harder, do it this way. Please us, not yourself, do it this way. And be strong, do it our way. Don't be you, be a vision and version of us.
I just watched a gentleman today talk about embracing your weirdness. And I thought of you when I watched him, because what I really felt he was talking about was getting your to know yourself, like through the life script type process, and then embracing who you really were, as opposed to who you thought everybody wanted or supposed you would be. And I thought, I've got to somehow get this to Dr. Pat so she can see it, because it's so Dr. Pat.
And I'm going to give you another book.
Oh, I love it.
The Courage to Be Disliked, a Japanese phenomenon that shows you how to change your life and achieve real happiness. My Ichiro Kishimi and Fumitake Taki Koga.
Oh, wow. Japanese. I will have to check that out, because I did an anthropological paper on, now this is going to sound weird, but bento boxes. And do you know what a bento box is?
No.
A bento box is a little lunch box that Japanese mothers create for their children, and it's become a phenomenon. Like, the cuter the food is, the smaller it is, the more it looks like a panda bear or a fish or something fancy like that, that the child takes the box to school and opens it up, and the children all compare these foods that the mothers have sent. It's become this phenomenon where the mothers are in this neck-to-neck competition where they're becoming so overwhelmed that some of the mothers have become like extremely depressed and even suicidal, because their bento boxes didn't match up to the rest of the children in the school, and it became like, oh, they lost face. So I find that interesting, because
the courage, go ahead,
because what you're saying is the courage and to be
your script,
right, to be disliked,
the courage to be disliked. You know, I love it when people come in my office as couples. They say, we love each other, but we're fighting all the time. I said, do you like each other? No. That's the problem. To accept is to love unconditionally.
Yes.
To like is to approve and like people for what they are, good or bad.
Yes.
Because it fits your script.
It's true. I think that your life script classes and your actual one-on-one appointments are stunning. And what a great launch pad to the tools and everything else that you have in your wheelhouse.
It's the core.
It really is. It really is. It's amazing.
Steiner, protege of Eric Byrne, wrote Scripts People Live. Isn't that a perfect title?
It is. It is. We have a question coming in from our Facebook crowd, and she's asking, what is your position, Dr. Allen, on psychic impressions? Is it part of intuition, or could you actually consider it psychic ability?
It's psychic ability. People that work with people particularly have a lot of instinctive, if you're a woman, intuitive, if you're a man, energy, because it's been born in your body from others who were that. People can be gifted in the area of instinct and intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in it.
Oh, that's amazing. She's saying that, the concept of deja vu, when you see
deja
something.
Deja vu is when it's like a lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dreaming, you dream of sometimes reality situations that have occurred or are going to occur, and it's reality. The energy is on a concave bowl. If you're on one side of that bowl, you can often dream lucidly of things that are on the other side. Do you understand? It's almost like you can foresee, you have the gift of psychic awareness.
So it's almost like you pick up a broadcast off of a satellite dish, off of that kind of a bowl.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
So that is the same concept almost as dream walking.
Yes, totally.
Amazing. I love that. I could spend hours talking with you about dreams. Speaking of that, Dr. Alice also does dream readings on private basis only. We don't do it on the radio. We just simply cannot. But are you having any dream classes coming up, Dr. Allen?
No, not in the brand new future.
Okay. Hopefully
they
next.
Will come up, but Sue only books 3 months.
Yeah. Hopefully next quarter or in the new year.
Yes,
that would be awesome.
Quarter, right.
Okay. Right. We have another gentleman asking us this question. He says, for 11 years of my life, I was a homosexual male. In the last 18 months, I have been in therapy, including EMDR, thanks to you and listening to what you've had to say about PTSD. It has come to my knowledge that I had been sexually abused as a child or youth from the age of 8 to the age of 14.
That's the normal abuse time.
My mother allowed it to happen. And
yes.
I felt so angry at her and angry at women in general. Oh, it looks like we have a caller on. Hold on 1 second, caller. Dr.
Okay.
Allen.
Yes.
He says, my new mate doesn't believe it's possible for me to have stopped being homosexual. How can I explain this to her that it is possible through
it
EMDR?
It is totally possible. There is biological gayness in which your mother and the boy baby did not produce enough testosterone to control, to change the female body that the little boy has when they're conceived. You're female for 8 days,
mm-hmm.
even when you're a man. Then mom and you create you by stimulating her body to create a testes and testosterone. So mm-hmm. everybody on the planet is some level of combination of male and female genes, and maybe even organs.
Right.
There's a movie I saw from Sweden called Border.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a couple in there who are throwback genes to before Neanderthal, and they both were male, and they both were female.
Very interesting.
And they talk so well about the process of being unique but normal for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this young man, whoever you're talking about or to,
mm-hmm.
this young man was not genetically gay. He was aversively gay because he didn't like women, because his mother didn't protect him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he went to EMDR, got in touch with his wound, and that freed up his natural masculine energy because he's not biologically gay.
Oh, there beautiful.
Are people that are biologically gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cortisone hyperplasic adrenalized female. Mother thought she was a boy, produced just enough testosterone to change her brain into being male instead of female. And because sex choice occurs in the brain
mm-hmm.
before it is acted on in the body.
Beautiful. So, he says, he's sending you a message right now. He's saying, Dr. Allen, thank you. We are sitting here together listening. She sees the situation more clearly now. And I thank you for that. Amazing, Dr.
You're
Allen.
Welcome.
Amazing.
You're
welcome. We have a caller on. Caller, thank you for being patient. You're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. My question is, can a feminine energy female call her male masculine energy ex just to ask for her stuff back after a breakup?
Calling and verbally exchanging is too close to sensuous. It's too physical. And because of that, if the woman is in pain and has been dumped, he's going to pick it up. And I'm sad to say that not all men are gentlemen. He may use you for sex or money or whatever, but not really know. He really won't know that you're gone.
What if I ask him to mail it?
To marry? Well,
I'm sorry.
You decide. You have every right from me to be a man, to act like a man,
wow.
compete, conquer, and control. I have no problem with that. In fact, when I work with people that are dating, I tell them, be masculine Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Be feminine Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Chase them 3 days and don't chase them 3 days and see which one gets you the relationship you want.
Oh. Okay.
I have no problem with men that want to be feminine or women that want to be masculine, as long as they know it and they have a program for it. They're mindful of how they're doing it. And it's not just chaotic spontaneity. Chaotic spontaneity will have a woman asking for more, better, different love, affection, time together, and sex. And that will absolutely screw up the walls of who's respectable and who's cherishable.
Right.
But I have no problem
yeah.
with women being men or men being women.
I don't want to be a man. I just really want
then you're wanting
to not
to be
have everything.
Receptive, available, and respecting of his right to be in competition with your male, compete with your male, and control your male. Raise your right hand.
Yeah.
I promise. On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the man I love.
To respect the man I love.
Even when.
Even when.
I know I'm smart as a man.
I know
at times.
Smart as a man. At times.
Furthermore. I promise. If I want to be feminine. I will keep my yang mouth shut.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep my yang mouth shut.
Unless I have to call the police. A doctor.
Or a lawyer
to sue him. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Chaos.
So is there no way that I can see this as a feminine woman?
How you can drop a hanky or chase him? Have you written him a hi-bye letter?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's what I direct you to do. Have you got a paper and a pencil?
I have my phone.
Or is your phone recording?
No, but I mean, I can type it into my phone.
Okay. The first paragraph is everything you like about him. Like, approve. You got to love Hitler. Accept him. Mm-hmm. People have a right to be who they are. Second tool. If you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, you've got to make an appointment.
Okay.
Third tool, he's irritating you. If
yeah.
you have a relationship with him, you have the right to say, you have a right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. You have a right to be you. But I'm uncomfortable. Are you interested in knowing how to keep me comfortable? And would it be convenient now to tell you?
Okay.
The fourth tool, I sense, I think, I believe by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesturing, that you are upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes, you are. When would it be convenient for you to tell me about it? And when would it be convenient for you to tell me about it? Hopefully today. And the fifth tool is giving him the old timeout sign with the hands. What are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm upset about something you're saying or something you're doing. Do you want to know what it is? Have you got that?
Got it. Yes, I do.
All right.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller. Bye. Okay. I think we have another call coming in. Here
Good.
We go.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're live Hi. On the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Well, I actually just got off the phone with you.
Oh, weird. We got you back. Okay. Let me tell you. Thank you.
But
go ahead.
We do have one more question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So there's a new guy that I've been talking to. He's not this ex. And I sense that he likes me, but he's asked me out twice the same day. So I don't want to do last minute plans. Do I tip him off to this?
Oh, wait a minute. You don't want last minute plans.
No. Is that a,
for what
is
reason
not a bad
do
thing?
You not want last minute plans?
Because I usually already have plans, but he told me that he feels rejected when I say no. And so I feel like it's a lose-lose.
Darling, what he's saying is you're saying no before you even hear what he's saying. I want you to say, ask me for what you want, and if it fits into my life, I'll do it.
Okay.
See, what you're saying is he shouldn't call twice a day. You've got all these little rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the rules?
Yes, but I don't remember them offhand.
Well,
I guess I should
offhand,
remember them.
What they are is things like if he doesn't call by Wednesday, you can't date him on Saturday.
Oh, yes. I was sort of
okay,
going
now
by
they,
that, too.
They have every right to mold men with pain. I don't do that. I
oh,
say,
okay.
I have no problem with you calling me for two dates in one day. If it fits my life, you're on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's so helpful.
Okay.
Because I've been following the rules also, and it feels like men seem to get turned off.
You can't be Pat Allen woman doing the rules. It can't be done. They
okay.
have their system. I have mine. They train
okay.
with pain.
Yeah.
I train with respect.
Got it.
Wait a minute. Men who put up with women that cause pain are wusses. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's so helpful.
Yeah, the rules are definitely a negative manipulation.
But I'm saying that if a couple likes them, he wants to be a wuss and she wants to be abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, with this guy, I'm feeling discouraged because I, like, in the past two instances, I genuinely have had plans, but I've made it really clear that I want to spend time with him. And I'm like, well, I'm looking forward to when you ask me out again. And he hasn't asked me out. I think that he feels that he experienced rejection,
maybe,
and now he doesn't.
Maybe he knows that you're saying no to him to do things like with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I got news for you. If you pass up a date with the man you're interested in for a girlfriend, think lesbian.
Oh. So that's a wrong signal to give.
Not if you're a lesbian. I have no problem with lesbians.
No, but I'm not.
Was your mother?
No. She's sort of the man, but weird. Like, she would fawn over my stepdad, but she would be the man with us.
Well, he's unique because he's an individual and he's found who he is. But you want him to be carbon copied off some of Oprah's magazines or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real men are competitive, conquering, and controlling. They like to lead. They like to control. They like to win. Women who are women like men that are leaders because they feel cared for.
Yeah.
And cherished.
And cherished.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Thanks so much. Bye.
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 Okay. Very interesting.
Women don't realize how sensitive the soul of a man is, the anima.
Right.
They think men's soul are as tough as their bodies. It isn't.
Right.
Women have tender bodies, but tough as nails souls.
Yeah.
But the problem is, when a woman's a man, a mom, she uses her maleness to nurture him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Me Too is all about, to cut out nurturing men sexually and financially without getting a product negotiated.
Right.
Free wife and free girlfriend are not very productive.
No, they're truly not. Let me see here what we've got going on. Okay, this young lady says, Dr. Allen, can you please explain one more time, because I don't quite get it, the five parts of the high bi letter. So
That's
a problem we have here. We're losing the comms here with some of these gals in this high bi letter. And I think it's really important and poignant for them to understand it.
I will give it to them now. The five paragraphs of the high bi letter are divided into four paragraphs as an overview of the relationship that was falling apart or did fall apart.
Okay.
The fifth paragraph states a future goal based on the lesson learned. Remember what I said earlier in this session? Every relationship has a lesson attached.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to find out what that lesson is for the improvement of your skills.
Mm-hmm.
If you start out with a number one man and you want a number 10 man, you have to go through 9 men who will teach you 9 lessons to qualify.
Gotcha.
And we spoke of the arrow going through rather than pulling it out and tearing the guts out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So paragraph one is for you to write down, type, computer, smoke screen. I don't care how you do it. Text it. I want a paragraph of everything you like, L-I-K-E, about him. Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, financially. The second paragraph is when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, question him. You must make an appointment. And that's done in a high bye letter when you say, this letter is being written to give you my thoughts and feelings about our relationship. And since you've left, the pain is the following. And you write down what pain. You write down what you did to participate in the mistake of coming apart. What was your part of it?
Right, your culpability.
The culpability. The third paragraph is what you don't want in a relationship at whatever you are level. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be with the man who doesn't know if he wants to be married. I don't want to be with the man who does. What you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth of the fourth paragraphs is what you do want. I want a man who wants to be married. I want a man who wants to cherish me. I want a man who wants to be respected. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth paragraph is a gracious thank you for the opportunity to experience the painful message this relationship gave you. And the fact is, you're going to learn from that lesson, go out into the world, and find a man who fits the description.
Aha. Now then, these same ladies are sending a message. You send this letter at 8 weeks. That is correct.
You send it the day after the 8 weeks are complete. He's got eight solid weeks.
Okay, and then they want to qualify also that, yes, every time he contacts you and reaches out to you, the 8 weeks starts over.
Yes.
Okay. They're incredulous at that, Dr. Allen. They're trying to understand how come they have to do that, and I love...
They don't have to do that.
Right.
If they're done with him, they'll say, thank you for your offer. I've done a number of 8 weeks with you, and I'm done with you.
Okay, so now their question now is, during that 8 weeks, do you date? Do you wait? What do you do during that 8 weeks?
You date, but you don't have intercourse. You don't betray the relationship until he's gone 8 weeks.
Right. In other words,
never have revenge sex with a new man to punish the old man. Well, right. He did it, so I'm going to do it.
Right, right. Exactly. Okay. And the next question about the high vibe letter and the dating is, so you begin duty dating, and duty dating is three men, three times.
Three times each, unless they did something immoral, unethical, or illegal on the date.
Gotcha. And then we have another question about the interview process. I went out with a gentleman. I felt like it was a job interview.
It is a job interview. Uh-huh. A life mate position is a job.
Right.
Harvard did a study and they found that 2/3 of all men mate and marry for a sensuous home with kids, I guess, and sexual and sensuous comfort.
Mm-hmm.
1/3 of men mate and marry for status and financial security. Her dad owns blah, 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 and I'm married to her. So he's there for the money.
Right.
Or the power or the prestige. Now, 2/3 of women in the Harvard study want to be mated or married for status, Mrs. So-and-so, or I'm with him, and financial stability so they can play with the kids and have security. 1/3 of women want to be laid. They're called cougars, and they basically want a sensuous sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. This is often seen with the older woman and the younger man.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is.
Okay. And the next question is, these are coming fast tonight. What to do about Peter Pan?
Peter Pan is a girl with a penis. Enjoy her.
What to do? Oh, she says, what to do about Peter Pan when you're tired of being Wendy and sewing his shadow back on?
What you say to him is, Peter, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it convenient?
Uh-huh.
Yes. You have every right to respect me. Sometimes I even like it. But it's too much now. I don't want to be a man or your mother anymore. So unless you can switch to being a man who wants to give, protect, and cherish me as a way to turn me on,
mm-hmm.
I'm done.
I love it, because that means they've got the lesson, right, Dr. Allen? If she's done, she's got it. Okay. Good. The next question is, my husband got a promotion. He's been, going out with his superiors and heavily drinking. We no longer have sex. I caught him in the shower masturbating yesterday morning. I'm completely confused. I don't know what to do.
Well, I think you'd best make an appointment. Honey, I need to talk to you about our relationship. Would it be convenient sometime today or when?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say to him, you have every right to pull away from me sexually. However, I don't know how long I can stay with that attitude, but I will stay as long as I can.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Okay. She says the drinking thing is frightening her. He's went from a man who occasionally had a beer to a man who's comes home.
He may be coming as drunk.
Mm.
So what she can say in it, you have every right to want to drink with the boys and masturbate by yourself. I'll stay as long as I can. and I'm letting you know that if I can't stay, I will divorce you as gently as I can.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dr. Allen. And we're out of time. So what do you have to say before we go, Dr. Allen?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? And what am I going to do about it? Or what am I going to stop doing about it?
Beautiful. Everyone, we love you. We'll be back next week. Take care. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.